Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Tes at the two dots that you see in the middle where there is a quote from the Mishnah which says, "B'mukdoshim eino kein." This is a reference to a situation where the meat of other korbonos, other than the korban Pesach, where the meat became tomei, and you have the blood of the sacrifice to be sprinkled. So we say that even though the meat and the chalev became tomei, you can still zorek es hadam. Even though the, let's say this again, even though the meat became tomei and the chalev is around, you can sprinkle the blood and get credit for the sacrifice. This is in contrast with the Korban Pesach, which even though the Basar, where if the basar becomes tameh, you do not zorek es hadam. You do not, and hence don't get credit for the korban Pesach. Without zrikas hadam, there is nothing to talk about. A korban is not considered an effective korban unless the blood is sprinkled. The question is, what happens with regard to other korbanos other than the korban Pesach when the meat has become tameh? Do you continue with the sprinkling of the blood? Our Mishnah, our Gemara continues, Masnisin Moni, our Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Rabbi Yoshua Hi, our Mishnah conforms to the teaching of Rabbi Yoshua. Desanyo, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kol hazvochim shebaturo, shenishtayer mehen kezayas boser o kezayas chelev. Other sacrifices, and this source will contrast the Kol hazvochim, all other sacrifices, with a korban oila, and that will become clear as we go on. Hence, this is underlined kol hazvochim and is called number one. Later in the source, the oila sacrifice is underlined and it's referred to as number two. So, with regard to all other sacrifices, if a kezayas boser, an olive quantity of meat, or o kezayas chelev, or an olive quantity of chelev, which is associated with the innards of a sacrifice that are the part that is put on the fire of the mizbeach, if that remains, so we say zorek es adam, you can sprinkle the blood. Kezayis, kechatzi zayis basar, u kechatzi zayis chelev, if all that remains is a half olive quantity of meat, and a half olive quantity of chelev, ein zorek es adam, there is no sprinkling of the blood. The concept of achila, of consumption by a person or of the altar, demands a full olive quantity. And if you have only a half olive quantity of person consumption and a half olive quantity of altar consumption, they don't join together to create a full olive quantity minimum amount for zrikas hadam to take place. Uba oila, however, the oila sacrifice, which stands in contrast to other sacrifices insofar as the oila sacrifice is completely burnt. None of the meat is consumed by people. Everything, the fats, the innards, and the meat of the ola all go into the fire on the top of the mizbeach. Therefore, afilu kechatzi zayis boser kechatzi zayis chelev, a half olive quantity of meat and a half olive quantity of innards, being that they all have the same destination, zorek es hadam, mitnei shekulo kolil, the sprinkling of the blood does take place, and you will get credit for the sacrifice because the ola is completely burnt. Kula, completely, kolil, burnt. And now the third point in this source, which is not 100% clear, therefore the Gemara will have to clarify it afterwards, uva mincha, with regard to a meal offering, afalpi shekulo kayemes, even if the entire mincha is intact, lo yizrok, there's no sprinkling of the blood. So the Gemara asks, mincha maya vidito, what's the connection between a meal offering with blood? There's no blood in a meal offering, so why does the source say that even if the whole meal offering is intact, so you don't sprinkle the blood. It doesn't have any blood. Omar Rav Popos, Rav Popos explains, Minchas Nesochim. We're talking about a meal offering that is brought as an accompaniment to an animal offering. We call this a Mincha Bo'im HaZevach. Salka Daito Chamino. Without this source, I would have thought, Kevan de Ko'asio Mikoyach Zevach, since this meal offering is coming on the heels or as a result of your having brought an animal offering, Kegufe de Zevach Domi, it would have the same status as the animal offering itself, as the meat itself. And if you were to follow this line of reasoning, it would then be that even if all the meat is gone, but you have the meal offering that remains, I would have thought so, go ahead and sprinkle the blood and get credit for your korban that way. Komash mlon, that not so. The source is telling me that even in the case of a minchas nesochim, the fact that the meal offering remains intact, in the event that the rest of the meat of the animal offering is no longer there, so you don't have license to sprinkle the blood and get credit for the korban. At this point, we have a new marking, diamonds. You see here, and a few lines later, and on the side of the Gemara, our Nosei Mivne heading, we have the following explanation. These are Makoros Shechelev Yoseres Hakovei Lishnei Kloyos, sources that tell us that the chelev part of an animal and the yoseres hakoved and shteklos are, we'll say, different organs, in addition to the chelev, which is often translated as forbidden fats, but it's a reference to different fats and membranes and different parts of the animal that are taken out of the animal and put onto the altar. The yoseres hakoved and shteklos are another two organs, we'll say, that are placed on the Mizbeach. They are not eaten by anyone who's going to eat the korban, rather those go onto the Mizbeach. And we indicated before that if you have a korban where most of it is gone, but all that remains is a kezias of chelev, and here we're adding, in this discussion, kezias of yoseres hakoved and shtei kloyos, they represent a balance or a remainder to allow this rikas adam. So now let us turn to the Gemara. Chelev minolon. From where do we know that the chelev represents a shiur, a remainder, a remaining factor to allow this rikas adam? Om Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yishmael. Now, notice with the markings, we've double underlined Rav Yochanan. In a few lines, we will also have his name emphasized. Here, Rav Yochanan is quoting Rav Yishmael. Later, Rav Yochanan is presented Didei, his own. He's not quoting Rav Yishmael. There, he says something on his own. But in the meantime, the question is, from where do we know in the scriptures, from the Psukim, that Chelev represents a sufficient remnant of a sacrifice to allow the continued sprinkling of the blood and hence getting credit for the sacrifice? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Umotu Bo Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Ben Hananiah, and some say in the name instead of Rabbi Yishmael, they quote that it's stated that Rabbi Yochanan is quoting Rabbi Yeshua Ben Hananiah. De Omar Kroll, the Pasuk says, after having spoken about Zrikas Hadam, where the Pasuk begins by saying Vizorak HaKoinis Hadam, it goes on in that Pasuk to say V'hikter HaChelev L'Reach Nichoach LaShem. And we learn from here, Chelev, Afalpi Shein Bosar. If Chelev remains, even if there is no Bosar, that is enough to warrant the Zrikas Hadam. Ashkichon Chelev. This is a source for Chelev. The Pasuk says explicitly, Chelev. Yoseres HaKoved V'shtei Kloyos Menolon. Regarding those. Now, these organs are understood to be considered a shiur from the fact that the source above says that a mincha, a meal offering, is not a shiur. It implies that anything else that's part of the animal itself that is placed on the Mizbeach, that is considered a shiur. So what in addition to the chelev is placed on the Mizbeach? These organs, the Yoseres HaKoved and the Shtei Kloyos. So, Minolon, from where do we know, posuk-wise, that they are considered a shiur? Now, we just spoke out a point that from the fact that the source taught that the mincha is not a shiur, so we know these are. Here, in the bracketed section, the Gemara will spell that point out. But before we deal with the bracketed section, if we skip the brackets, we'll get immediately to the answer of the question, minolam. From where do we know scripturally that the Yoseres HaKovein and the Shtei Kloyos constitutes a remnant or a balance, a shiur, to allow the Zrikas Adam to take place? Or if you say it in other terms, if all that remains of a sacrifice is the Yoseres HaKovein and Shtei Kloyos, go ahead and do the Zrikas Adam. So from where do we know that? So we skip the brackets. Rabbi Yochanan di Dei Omar. Here Rabbi Yochanan, instead of quoting the Tana that we saw him doing before, he says here on his own, Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, L'Reach Nichoch. That's the Pasuk that we just saw quoted before. And we learn from this, Kol Shatamale L'Reach Nichoch. Anything that's placed on the altar to serve as a Reach Nichoch, a pleasant smell for the Almighty, so to speak. Let's go over the Gemara again now with the bracketed section. Now within the brackets, since up till now all we knew from the sources and the psukim that we were dealing with is that chelev represents a shiur. How do you know, not by way of the scripture, but how do you know to say that the Yoseres and Kaveh to Shtei Kloyos is considered a remnant based on which we will then go ahead and do the Zrikas Adam? Where do I see that in sources? And once I establish that, then we will ask the question, what's the scriptural source for that information? So here, structurally, it's a little bit complicated. That's why the brackets are here to help to isolate the two separate issues that are taking place. Right before the brackets, the minolan expression that we squiggle underline to maintain a certain sense of parallel to the previous squiggle underline by the chelev diamond, chelev minolan, we're asking for a source in psukim. Here too, regarding the Yoseres HaKovein and Shtei Kloyos, we are asking about what's a source in the pasuk that they are considered a remnant to allow the Zrikas Adam. But now within the brackets, the issue is, where do you see that they constitute a remnant in the first place? So let us now read the brackets. Hecha amrinon dezarkinon. Where do we say that based on the Yoseres HaKovein and that Shtei Kloyos that we go ahead and do the Zrikas Adam in the situation that nothing else of the sacrifice is left? Well, the answer is mida katoni, from the fact that the source above had said uva mincha afal pi shekulo kayemes lo yizrok. And there you can see we have the little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see where this quote comes from above. So from the fact that it said that the mincha does not constitute a remnant, so mincha hu delo, it's a meal offering, which is not part of the animal meat itself, it's not part of the animal creature. So it does not constitute a remaining factor to allow the Zrikas Adam in the case of the minchas nesochim. Avol Yoseres HaKovein Shtei Kloyos Shabri Domi, the Yoseres HaKovein and Shtei Kloyos, which are part of the animal itself, that does constitute a shiur. So minolon, from where do I know that that they are the basis? From where do I know in the pasuk that if they remain, you go ahead and do the Zrikas Adam? The Zrikas Adam, of course, is the sprinkling of the blood, and hence get credit for the sacrifice. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan di Dei Omar. Rabbi Yochanan on his own says, Omar Kro L'Reach Nichoach. From the words in the pasuk that say L'Reach Nichoach, we learn Kol Shatamale L'Reach Nichoach. Anything that you place on the altar for Reach Nichoach purposes, for creating a pleasant aroma, the beginning of that pasuk applies, namely V'Zorak HaKoines Adam. Based on that, the kohen will do the Zrikas Adam. Now, at this point in the Gemara, we have a source for the chelev, and that was the word chelev, and we have a source for the Yoseres HaKovein Shtei Kloyos, namely Reach Nichoach. Now, why does the Torah state both of them? Why not state one, and I'll figure out the other? The Torah has to spell out each one. The E Kosav Rachmona, you'll notice with the squiggle underline here and the next line, we highlight what would have been had just one of the terms been stated. So the E Kosav Rachmona Chelev, if the Torah would have said that Chelev constitutes the remnant, the remaining factor to allow the Zrikas Adam, Have Amino, I would have thought Chelev in Yoseres HaKovi Dishtei Klois Lo. I would have thought that which is stated is all that is, namely that only Chelev represents the remainder and not the Yoseres HaKovi Dishtei Klois. Therefore, Kosav Rachmono L'Reach Nichoach. Therefore, the adding this expression, we know to include the Yoser Sakoved and Shtei Kloyos. The E Kosav Rachmono L'Reach Nichoach, had the Torah written just that and not Chelev, Have Amino, I would have thought, Kol Ha'ilin L'Reach Nichoach V'Filu Mincha. Anything that's placed on the altar to serve as a Reach Nichoach, which would include the meal offering, the handful, the komets of a Mincha. And as we saw before in the case of the Minchas Nisachim, that too should constitute a shiur, kosav rachmona chelev. Therefore, the Torah says chelev, which comes from the animal itself, to the exclusion of the meal offering, even though it's a meal offering that accompanies a sacrifice. We now embark on a new Mishnah, which represents also a new topic of discussion. The basic idea is that a Korban Pesach, if the majority of the tzibor, of the Jewish people, are Tomei, then everyone brings the Korban Pesach on the 15th of Nisan in a state of Tumah. This is something that's very unusual. You don't find this by other sacrifices. What happens then if you have part, not everyone is Tomei, but the majority is Tomei? What happens if the Kohanim are Tomeim? What happens if the service vessels used it in offering a sacrifice are Tomeim? These topics will be discussed as we go on in the Mishnah. Nitma Kohol Orubo, if the Kohol, the Jewish people, and the word Kohol we'll see later in the Gemara, later Sugis, that the word Kohol has other connotations. But in the meantime, we'll take it to mean the Jewish people. So if the Jewish people, or the majority of them, became Tomei, or the Kohanim, who are charged with offering the sacrifices in a physical sense, they are Tomei, where the rest of the Tzibor happens to be Tor, Yasu Betuma. The Korban will be processed anyway, in a state of Tumah. Even the people, even the individuals, the people that are Tahar, don't have to maintain a state of Tara. In fact, they become Tomei, or they're, we'll see later more about that topic, but certainly they don't have to do it in a state of Tara. Nitma miut hakol, if only a minority of the Tzibor became Tomei, Haturim Oisim Es Rishon, those, the majority that are Tohar, they do Pesach Rishon, the 14th of Nisan, Vatameim Oisim Es Hasheni, and the minority of the people that happen to have become Tomei, they will have a makeup date, the 14th of the next month, namely Iyar, which we call Pesach Sheni. The topic heading that is on the side of the Gemara that accompanies this sukya reads as follows. Under the Nosei on the side, Nosei is the topic heading. Pesach Habo Betuma, the idea of Korban Pesach coming in a state of impurity. Kol HaMatzav includes a situation, Shegam HaSakinim Bilvat Temeim Tumas Meis, where just the knives that are used for slaughtering the sacrifices have become Tomei Tumas Meis, that's defilement to the dead. Mahadin imasakinim Tameim biyudal Nisan Tumas Sheretz. What would the din be if the knives on the 14th of Nisan are Tomei, but they're only Tomei Tumas Sheretz? That's defilement to a dead Sheretz type creature. In the Gemara, after we read a Tanaic source, we'll see house marking highlighting the names Rav Chisda and Rava, who argues on him a few lines later. So now we continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Hare Shoyu Yisrael Tameim, the Kohenim Klishoris Tahorim. The Jewish people are Tomei, but the Kohanim and the service vessels are Tar. O Shohoyu Yisrael Tahorim, Ukohenim, Uklishoris Tameim. The Afilu Yisrael, the Kohanim Tahorim. You can have a situation even where the Jewish people and the Kohanim, all the people involved, are Tahorim, Uklishoris Tameim. And the service vessels that are used in the processing of the sacrifice are Tomei. Yasu Betuma. They do it in a state of Tumah. Everyone does the Korban Pesach in a state of Tumah. She'ein Korban Sibur Choluk. Because it's not acceptable to have a public sacrifice divided. Rashi, at the beginning of the Gemara section, a little more than halfway down the page, Rashi says, She'ein Korban Sibur Haba B'Tumah, a Korban Sibur public sacrifice that comes in a state of Tumah Choluk, is it to be divided. After we see that the majority of the sacrifices will be done in a state of Tumah, so even the individuals that are not Tomei, they too shall do it in a state of Tumah. The Gemara, Omar of Chista, Loi Shanu, the point in the Mishnah that because there's Tumas Kli Shoris, where the service vessels are Tamei, everyone does the Korban Pesach in a state of Tuma. Ela Shinitmo Hasakin B'Tamei Meis. It's a case where the knives were exposed to defilement to the dead. The Rachmon Omar, when it comes to defilement to the dead, the Pasuk says, B'Halal Cherev. Halal is a corpse. Cherev is a sword, but a sword is metal. From this Pasuk we learn, Cherev harehu kachalal. The cherev, which represents metal, is like the halal, is like the corpse. V'kometame legavra. If, let us say, the sword, or the metal item, the knife in this case, we're talking about the knife used for slaughtering sacrifices, that it came into contact with tumas mace. Tumas mace, we know, is a form of tumah that lasts for 7 days. Hence, the person that handles the knife, he too will become tamei for 7 days. Demeikora, the Gemara goes on to say, Demeikora ki misavid betumas haguf dekores komis avid. When he is processing the korban pesach using a knife that was tamei mace, that means the person himself becomes tamei mace. And in general, a person who is tamei, who does Avodas HaKorbonos, who processes sacrifices, he is guilty of a Kores punishment. So in this case, where you have a sacrifice slaughtered by someone who is Tomei Meis, and how did he become Tomei Meis? Because he handled a knife that was Tomei Meis, instead of the Tumah dropping down one level, which is generally case when you have something that's Tomei and it comes into contact with something else, the item that it comes into contact with drops down a level of Tumah. Not so in the case of metal coming into contact with Tumas Mace. So once the sword became Tomei Mace, the person handling it became Tomei Mace. And as such, you have a person that under other circumstances would be chayev a Kores penalty. Here he is allowed to do it, even though he has this high level of Tumah upon him. Avol, nitmo hasakin betumas sheretz. Let us say the knife came into contact with another source of Tumah, another av hatumah, another primary source of Tumah, for example, a dead sheretz. What happens in that case? There you don't have the lateral movement of Tumah, but it's rather, there's a descending form. Namely, the sakin came into contact with the sheretz. The sheretz is an av hatumah, and the sakin becomes a rishon the tumah. And as such, a person that handles a knife that's a rishon the tumah, then the person remains unaffected. What gets affected? Well, the meat of the sacrifice gets affected. A rishon, a first level tumah, will metame oichlin umashkin. In this case, it's metame the korban. Therefore, Rav Chisto tells us that in this case, if the sakin came into contact with tumas sheretz, the boser hu de metamile, legavro lo metamile, the meat becomes tomei, but the person does not become tomei. then we say Tahirin Ovid Tamei and Lo Ovid. The people of Israel, the Jewish people that happen to be Tor at that time, they do the Korban Pesach. The people that are Tomei do not do the Korban Pesach. Mutav Yoichal Betumas Bosar Belav, better to have the Tohor people eating the meat that became Tomei. Tomei korban meat does not result in a kores penalty. It's only when the person is Tomei that he either serves in the Beis HaMikdash or he eats sacrificial meat is there kores. But in this case, where the person himself is Tohor and the meat that he's eating will be Tomei, that's a lav, that's a negative command, but without a kores penalty. So Rav Chisda's approach here is better that the people who are Tohor maintain their purity, will eat the Korban Pesach meat that happens to be Tomei as Tumas Bosar, which in what we'll call the worst case scenario, that's called a violation of a lav. V'al yoichal Bosar b'tumas haguf shu b'kores, and not have the Tomei people eating the meat, which when a person was Tomei eats it in a state of Tuma, he will be chayev kores. So therefore, we say, if all that's going to be violated would be a violation in the form of a mere negative command, as opposed to the violation in the form of something that theoretically is chayev kores, we keep things like that. Alma, Kosov Rav Chisda, from here you see Rav Chisda's general attitude toward Tuma in public sacrifices, with the Korban Pesach representing a public sacrifice, Tuma dechuya hi betzibur, that Tuma is pushed aside but not suspended when it comes to public sacrifices. And as Rashi says here, across mir dechuma dechuya hi betzibur, bekoshi hutra, only with difficulty do we allow Tuma to take place or to be present in the offering of sacrifices, or however, wherever it's possible to seek out taro oy atuma kala, or a lighter form of tuma, like we said just before, with the people who are tohar remain tohar, just eat the meat that became tomei. That's called tuma kala because it's only a lav, it's only a negative command. It doesn't carry with it a kores punishment. Mehadrin, we seek that out. So you can see that is Rav Chisda's approach, that even though the meat became Tomei, we're not going to allow the Tomei people that are present to do the Korban Pesach, but rather they'll have to wait for Pesach Sheni. That's a function of Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. Chenom Rav Yitzchok, Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. Rav Yitzchok is of the same opinion. The Rova Omar, Afilu Tomein Nami Avdi. Even those people that are Tomei will do the Korban Pesach. My taima. What's the basis of Rav Chisda, of Rav Rova's ruling? The Pasuk says, and after we read the Pasuk, we'll then show you how to darshan the Pasuk, how to expound on the verse in order to come to his conclusion that if the meat is Tomei, then even those that are Tomei person-wise, even they will do the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan and not wait till Pesach Sheni. Now, what does the Pasuk say? Dichtiv, Abosar Asher Yigla B'chol Tomei, Lo Ye Ochel, Bo'ei Shi Sorev, Abosar Kol Tohor Yochal Bosar. Now, the gist of the Pasuk is that meat that became Tomei shall not be eaten, it shall be burnt, and when it comes to the meat, anyone who is Tor shall eat the meat. That's a rough translation. However, there's a drasha that follows. Kol hecha, wherever, the lo karinon bay, where we don't refer the phrase v'abosar asher yiga b'chol tomei lo ye ocheil, wherever that is not going to apply. Now, what does the pasuk say there? It says, if the basar is tomei, don't eat it. So where that's not going to apply, lo karinon bay va basar kol tohor yochal basar. So we will likewise not insist on only someone who is tor eating the meat. Kol hecha the karino bay, wherever we refer to the following, Babosar shiga b'chol tome lo yeochel, where the meat is tome, so it is not to be eaten. Then we say karino bay Babosar kol tohor yochal bosar. Then only those that are tohor shall eat the meat and not the tomeim. Therefore, where you have a case where the bosar in a state of tumah will be eaten, so then we're not makbid anymore, we're not concerned with only the tahorim doing the korban pesach. And therefore, where the bosar became tumah tumas sheretz, namely the knife had become a rishon l'tumah and it touched the meat, making it a sheni, and we say that the Torah people will eat it, so you have meat that's tome being eaten. Being that that's the case, so then the hemshich of the posuk, bosuk kotor b'chor, is no longer binding. And that's how Rava comes to his conclusion that in such a case, even the temeim will do the korban pesach. At this point, we have a new topic heading, and on the side, we note under the nosei, mechza, Tahorim u'mechza tameim. Half of the people are tahor and half of the population are tomei. Mosai oisim pischem. When do they do their korban pesach? We will find this issue to be a machlokis Rav v'Rav Kahana. Rav has one approach. Rav Kahana has another approach. But within Rav Kahana, shnei lishnois v'Rav Kahana legabi mechza tameim. There will be two versions of Rav Kahana how you deal with the half of the population that are tomei. So now we turn to the Gemara. If Mahareisho Yisrael Mechza Tohorim U'Mechza Tameim. Behold, you have a situation where half of the Jewish people are Torah and half are Tomei. Rav Omar Mechza Al-Mechza K'Roiv. He says, well, 50-50 is like Roiv. And that will be explained very shortly. However, before we get to that, we see Rav Kahana disagrees. Rav Kahana Omar Mechza Al-Mechza Eino K'Rov. Half 50-50 does not have the status of a rov. Now what does this mean practically speaking? Rav Omar Mechza Al-Mechza K'Rov Halolu Oysin La'atzmon V'Halolu Oysin La'atzmon. When you have a 50% situation, they are considered like a majority. Therefore, there will be no Pesach Sheni. Why is that? Because you have a case where 50% of the people are Tomei, and a 50% Rav says is considered Rove. So since you have Rove, since you have a half, which is the same as a Rove, that are Tomei, such a case does not warrant having that particular year a Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is a phenomenon reserved for only when a minority of the people are Tomei. In this case, you don't have a minority of the people that are Tomei. Well, why don't they all do it together in a state of tumah? Why does he say halolu osin la'atzmon, that the Torah do it separately and the tumah people do it separately on the 14th of Nisan? Why is that? Well, because you have, in effect, rove of the people are tohar, being that half are tohar, that's considered as if rove are tohar. In a case where you have rove tohar, so then the tumahim really are not part of the picture. They should have been doing a Pesach Sheni. So we take a look at the Rashi, a few lines up from the bottom. Halolu oisin la'atzmon b'tara. Those that are Torah remain Torah. V'halolu oisin la'atzmon b'tumah. Torim lo avdi b'tumah. The people that are Torah are not allowed to become Tomei. Davi kirov. Because 50% is like rov. V'rov tahorim lo avdi b'tumah. When you have the majority of people that are Torah, so they don't do it in a state of tumah. Utmeim l'sheni lo mitchu. The people that are Tomei, the 50% that are Tomei, don't get pushed off till Pesach Sheni, until the 14th of Iyar, Mishum Dahavu Nami Ruba, because they are also a type of rove, a type of majority, but Ruba L'Sheni Lo Mitchu. Pesach Sheni does not exist for a case of rove people that are Tomei. We continue in the Gemara. V'Rav Kahana Omar, Mechza Al Mechza Eino K'rov. When you have 50-50, the 50% are not judged as a majority. Tohorin oisin esor rishon. Those that are tohor will do Pesach Rishon in the state of Tara. understanding that even if they happen to be a minority of people that are tohor, they do a Pesach Rishon. In that case, though, they'll do it in a state of tumah. But certainly here, where you don't have a minority that are tohor, so certainly here they will do it, their Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, in a state of tahara. So that's as far as the tohor people. Valolu, the Rav Kana says, the other ones, that is the Tumayin, Oisin es Hasheni, they will have a Pesach Sheni, because Rav Kana holds that a 50% thing is not considered a majority. So as far as what is a 50% phenomenon, it's a minority. Well, see, a 50% of the people being Tumay, they will do Pesach Sheni, as is the standard rule with regard to Pesach Sheni. The minority of people that were, if you have a mute of people that are Tomei, they get pushed off till the 14th of Iyar. Now, note, marking-wise, we have a Roman numeral number 1 here. At this point, the second part of Rav Kana's statement, Tomei Noisin Es Hasheni, this will be contrasted with our second version of Rav Kana, and the Roman numeral number 2 will appear at the top of Omid Beis. Ikar Diamri, another version of Rav Kana is as follows. Om Rav Kana, Mechza Mechza, Eino Kro. That's the same opening as we had for the first statement of Rav Kana, that 50-50 is not considered a majority. Tahirin Oisin Es Harishon, this also is the same as the first statement of Rav Kana, that the Tohar individuals will practice the Pesach Rishon, 14th of Nisan, they will do their Korban Pesach. Now note here, at the top of Omid Beis, Utamein, Einoisin, Lo Es HaRishon, Velo Es HaSheni. And notice how we've used a dot underline, the expression Velo Es HaSheni. Contrast that with the Roman numeral number 1, where it said there, Oisin Es HaSheni. Here, the Tameim will not have a Pesach Sheni, according to this version of Rav Kahana. The explanation, Parishon lo avdi, delo havu rubo. As far as Yud Dalid Nisan is concerned, we should correct ourselves here. We made a mistake, and that is, the first version of Rav Kahana. We are actually correct. We apologize for this slight hesitation. The Rav Kahana, as far as the first Pesach is concerned, the Tohorim Osin Es HaRishon, and here it says Barishon Lo Avdi, the Tameim will not do the first Pesach. That is. And the emphasis here is on the Tameim will not do the Pesach Rishon, the Lo Havu Ruba. They are not a majority. B'Sheni Lo Avdi, they don't have a Pesach Sheni either, the Lo Havi Mi'uta. They are not a minority. So as far as the second version of Rav Kana, the Tomei people, in the case of Mechza, Tamei and Mechza Torim, the Tomei people won't do either Pesach Rishon nor Pesach Sheni. Tanan. We have a Tanaic source, and we will see how this is presented as a kasha on Rav. The source says, Nitmo kohol o rubo, if the people became Tomei, or the majority of them, o shehoyu ha-kohanim tanaim va-kol torim, or the kohanim may be Tomei, and the rest of the population are Torah, yaseh betumo. They do it, even the Torah people will do it in a state of Tumah. And we now infer, Rubo hu the Avdi b'Tumah. When is there a Pesach Rishon? Only when the majority are Tomei. Avo palgo palgo lo Avdi b'Rishon. But if it's a 50-50 situation, where only 50% are Tomei, there will be no Pesach Rishon. There will be no Pesach Rishon at all for the Tameim. Kashya l'Rav. This is a problem for Rav, because Rav said that when you have a 50-50 situation, 50% Tomei, 50% Tomei, halolo osnatzman, even the Tomei people do it Pesach Rishon. Here we're inferring that only if the majority are Tomei will there be Tomei people doing Pesach Rishon. But if it's 50-50, Tomei people will not do Pesach Rishon. Omar Loch Rav. Rav answers, when it comes to Ruba Avdi Kulhu B'tumo, when it's Rove, the majority of the people are Tomei, then even the Tohor people will do their Korban Pesach in a state of Tum'a on Yudalid Nisan. Palgu Palka, when you have the situation that Rav was describing, 50-50, Halolu Oisin La'atzmon, Halolu Oisin La'atzmon, the Torah people do it on their own, and the Tomei people do it on their own. In other words, in a 50-50 situation, the Torah people do not become Tomei for the Korban Pesach. Hochi Nami Mistabra. This analysis is also most likely, and by the way, we have a long point. This analysis is most likely Dekotoni Seifa. The Seifa says, Nitmo Miut HaKohol, when a minority of the Tzibur became Tomei, Torim Oisin Es HaRishon U'Tomeim Oisin Es HaSheni, then the Torah people who represent the majority, they do Pesach Rishon, and the makeup date is available for the minority that became Tomei, the makeup date being the 14th of Iyar. And we infer, Miut Huda Avdi B'Sheni, when there's a mute that became Tomei, they do a Pesach Sheni, Aval Palgu Palgu Loi. If it's a 50-50% situation, no Pesach Sheni. The Avdi Barishon, the Tomei people who are 50% of the population will do Pesach Rishon, Valo Los Latzman, Valo Los Latzman. Let's read that line again. Aval Palgu Palgu Loi, the Avdi Barishon. And they do the whole Tzibur does a Pesach Rishon. Valolu Osin Latzmon, Valolu Osin Latzmon. The Tohar do it on their own, and the Tomei do it in on their own, all on the 14th of Nisan. So that is what Rav said. Well, so now that we've read the Seifa, after having read the Reisha, coming to this conclusion, Velokashi L'Rav Kahana, then this would oppose Rav Kahana's position, because Rav Kahana, in a case of Palgu Palga, didn't say that everyone does Pesach Rishon. Omar Loch Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana has his approach to the source and his inference, and you'll see how Rav Kahana's position is in fact maintained. What is the original source said? Nitmu miut hakohol, when the minority of the people became Tomei, Torah and Osin es HaRishon, the Torah people do the first Pesach, Utameim Oisin es HaSheni, and the Tomei people will do Pesach Sheni. That's standard procedure. Inference. Ha palgo palgo. What's going to happen in a case of 50-50? Not where only miut became Tomei, but 50% of the people are Tomei. Tahirin es Oisin es HaRishon. Aval Tameim Einon Oisin Loyos HaRishon Valoy Es HaSheni. Well, this point that the Tameim, in a case of Palgu Palgu, will not do Pesach Rishon nor Pesach Sheni, that is what we saw at the top of this Omid, which was Rav Kahana number 2. Well, Ha Teinach L'Lishna Bas Rav Kahana, this inference and way of learning conforms to Rav Kahana number 2, Avolah Elolah Lishno Diomar Rav Kahana, but the first version of Rav Kahana that said in the case of Mechtso Amechtso, he said Tahoirim Oisin Es HaRishon Utameim Oisin Es HaSheni, where the Tomei will do the Pesach Sheni, Mai Iko Lameimar. What are you going to say? You see, if you go back to where the previous arrow is, it said in the source that when you have mute call, they will do a Pesach Sheni. That implies that in a 50-50%, the Tameim will not do a Pesach Sheni. And yet here, you have, according to Rav Kahana, number 1, if a mute of the call were Tameim, they, even in the case of, we'll say, Mechtsa Mechtsa, the mute will do a Pesach Sheni. Whereas in the source, we're just being a bit repetitive, in the source where the first arrow appeared, it said that only a minority of people that are Tomei will have the option of a Pesach Sheni. Rav Kahana number 1 said that even if 50% were Tomei on Pesach Rishon, they will do a Pesach Sheni. So how do we resolve this? Omar Loch Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana will tell you, and when we say Rav Kahana, we're referring to Rav Kahana, Roman numeral number 1, that said, Mechza, the Mechza Tmei will do Pesach Sheni. He says here, Huadin Delfilu Pagul Pagul Nami, even in the case of 50-50, not just the case that the source taught, where a mute, where Tamei Pesach Rishon, but even where it was 50-50, Torim Osem Esa Rishon, Utmeim Osem Esa Sheni. The Tmeim will do a Pesach Sheni, even though they are not a mere mute, they're not a mere minority, but they represent 50%. V'hai dekotoni miut hakohol, the fact, or that which the source spoke about, a mute of the kohol doing a Pesach Sheni, that's only out of, we'll say, structural convenience that it said that. Aidi detona reisha rubo, since the reisha of that source spoke about nitma kol o rubo, and that you can see if you note where we have a star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you align it with the star that you see here, you can see where there was a reference to the reisha speaking about rubo. So since the reisha spoke about rubo, tono nami seifa miuto, therefore the seifa spoke about a case where the mute of the kohol were tamei, but only mute is in contrast to rubo, but the mute expression is not to the exclusion of the case of palgo palga, namely just like mute does a Pesach Sheni, palgo palga will also do Pesach Sheni. Now, as the Gemara goes on, we continue with Rav and Rav Kahana and the two versions of Rav Kahana. And we have a very unusual situation. We have three brises, three Tanaic sources, each one supporting a different one of the opinions that we saw by way of the Amoraim Rav and the two versions of Rav Kahana. So everyone has got their own Tanaic source. The question will arise later in the Gemara, what do the other Amoraic opinions do with the fact that any given Amoraic opinion has two Tanaic sources that would stand against him? What are they going to do about that? And that will keep the Gemara preoccupied till practically the end of the Omid. You'll see an extensive use of markings in the upcoming lines, and the hope is that things are easier to follow and point your finger at as a result of the plethora of markings here. And they're explained on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic heading and structural note that are combined into one, where you see a double underline featured and the use of a diamond. They will introduce in this Gemara Gimel Brisos, and they're marked Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Kol Echad Mehem Messiah Echad Misholosh Hashitais Benoisei Mosai Mevim HaTmeim B'Mechza Mechza. Each one of the Tanaic sources will support each one of the Amoraic opinions as to how to proceed when you have a 50-50 situation, 50% Tomei and 50% Tohar. We will see later in the Gemara the use of a squiggle underline and a diamond around something in the Gemara text. Ma oisim shnei hashitos acheros im kol brisa meseso shito achas. What will the other Amoraic opinions do with the Tanaic source that supports only one of the three opinions? So what do the other opinions do with that Tanaic source? Let's turn now back to the Gemara, and there will be more markings later that we'll have to address at that point. To make things very clear, we are dealing with the case of Mechza al Mechza. Mechza Tahorim, Mechza Tameim. Half of the population are Tomei, or Tohor, and half the people are Tomei. How do we proceed? So we say, we had seen in the Gemara three opinions. Reading this in the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei Derav. Tanya Kavasi Derav Kana Kitre Lishni. And in addition to a Tanaic source that supports Rav, we have Tanaic sources of supporting the two versions of Rav Kahana. Tanya Kavasi Derav. You can see, again, we spoke about the markings. The three Tanaic sources appear in the next few lines and more till the end of the narrow lines. Tanya Kavasi Derav. Ho Yisrael Mechza Tehru Mechza Temeim. The 50-50 situation. Halalu Osim Latzmon, Valalu Osim Latzmon. The Temeim and the Torim is due the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, but in separate as separate units. The Torim on their own and the Temeim on their own. That is what Rav had said. Tanya Kelishno Kama de Rav Kana, and now we have a Tanaic source supporting the first version of Rav Kana. According to the first version of Rav Kana, in a 50% Tomei situation, the Tomei people will do a Pesach Sheni. And what does it say in the source? Harei Shehoi Yisrael Mechso Torim Umechso Tomeim. Tahorim Osenes HaRishon Utomeim Osenes HaSheni. And the 50% of the people that happen to be Tomei on the 14th of Nisan, they will do their Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. V'tanyo Kalishno Basrat Rav Kahana. And finally, a third Tanaic source supporting the second version of Rav Kana, and it says, "Harei Shol Yisrael Mechso Tor Mechso Tameim Tahorin Oisin Es Harishon Utameim Einon Oisin Lo Es Harishon Valoi Es Hasheni." That's exactly what we saw at the top of this Omid, where Rav Kana at Roman numeral number 2 said that Tameim don't, in a 50% Tameim situation, they will not do a Korban Pesach that year. And now the Gemara proceeds regarding the opinions we saw. Amoraic speaking, what do they do? What does each one respectively do with the fact that you have Tanaic sources that would seem to contradict them? L'Rav u'L'Lishna Basra de Rav Kana, according to Rav and the second version of Rav Kana, Ha de Tana, Brisa, that we noted as Brisa Beis, it said there, Torin oisines harishon, utmeim oisines hasheni. Hechi metarzi law. How do they, namely Rav and the second version of Kana, explain this source that says that a 50% Tameim people will do a Pesach sheni? Neither one of them, Rav and second version of Rav Kana, said that they would do a Pesach sheni. So we now introduce a new marking. We have a diamond, and this diamond is here to emphasize. And we have this noted on the side of the Gemara. Ech kol echad mitaritz abraisa lefi emdo. So how does each one explain the braisa according to their particular opinions? So we continue. Kagon shehoyu Yisrael mechzatorim umechzatameim. We say 50% were tor and 50% were tomei. V'noshim mashlimos latameim. The women folk are mashlim. That means they complete the 50%. When we say that the 50% of the people are tomei, part of that 50% are women. So that you have 50% tor, they are the men. And you have 50% of the people that are tomei, but that's only if you take into consideration the men and women that are tomei. Because savar noshim barishon rishus, and the opinion of this particular brisa beis holds that noshim, with regard to their level of pesach obligation, korban pesach obligation on pesach rishon, is a matter of option. Rishus means it's optional, it's not something obligatory. So now when you focus on Yudalid Nisan, Dal Noshim Mitameim, subtract. Dal means to subtract, to reduce, take them out of the picture of the Tameim. So without the women, Vahavu Luhu Tameim Mi'utav, then the Tomei men on the 14th of Nisan constitute a minority in that case. Umiuta yidchu lePesach Sheni, and the miut of population, of a minority population that are tamei on Pesach Rishon, they do Pesach Sheni. So, given that scenario as the topic of Brisa Beis, then there is no kasha on Rav nor Lishna Basra of Rav Kahana. We continue. L'Rav u'L'Lishno Kama d'Rav Kahana Ha'desanya. Brisa Gimel poses a problem to them, to Rav and the first version of Kahana. What does it say in Brisa Gimel? Tor Moisin Osirishin u'Tmei Mein Osin Osirishin v'Osasheni. In the case of Mechza Mechza, the Tomei, according to this source, will not do Pesach at all. Well, that's not like Rav. Rav said they'll do it on Pesach Rishon. That's not like Rav Kahana number two, who said and it's not like Rav Kahana number one, who said that they will do Pesach Sheni. This source says they don't do either Pesach. Heichi Mitatza. How do they explain it? So in order to explain Brisa number three according to Rav and Rav Kahana, number one, you'll see we have a house marking to help emphasize each Amora and how he explains the source that confronts him. Rav Mitaritz law kegon. Rav offers his explanation. You'll see a house marking a few lines later. Rav Kahana, he'll have his kegon, his explanation to this source. So we're focusing right now on what we call Brisa Gimel. How do each one, Rav and Rav Kahana, number one, deal with the source that says the Tameim don't do neither Pesach Rishon nor Pesach Sheni? So Rav Mitaritz law kegon. Rav will explain as follows: kegon shahoyu Yisrael mechzo Tameim umechzo Tahorim. The male folk on the 14th of Nisan represented 50% Tahor and 50% Tomei. V'noshim oidfois al hatahorim. When you count the women, you will find that they create, or they make the Tor population to be the majority, to be the rove. Vikosavar, and this Tanaic opinion is of this source will hold, as Rav explains, Noshim, Barishon Chovo B'Sheni Rishus. The women folk, when it comes to Pesach Rishon, are obligated, and when it comes to their association with Pesach Sheni, they're only optional. Now, in this case, in Pesach Rishon, the Tomei population is in the minority. Therefore, Barishon Lo Avdi, Pesach Rishon, the Tomei people will not do a Pesach. Da'ava Le Miuta. The Tomeim are the minority. Well, Miuta Lo Avdi Barishon. And as a rule, only when you have a minority of people Tomei, they do not do Pesach Rishon. Ubasheni lo avdi. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, the Tomei people will not do their korban. Why? Dal noshe minayu. Subtract the women folk from the tahorim. Vahavu lehu palgo palgo. And at that point, the tahor people equal only 50% of the population. The Tomei people likewise are 50%. Upalga lo avdi b'sheni. When you have a 50% of the population that are Tomei, they don't do Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is not designed for a 50%. Pesach Sheni is designed only for a minority of Tomei people. Ula Rav Kahana diomar palgo nami avdi b'sheni. According to Rav Kahana, who says that a 50% Tomei will do a Pesach Sheni, Hechi Mitaritz law. How is he going to explain the Tanaic source that said that a 50% Tomei do not do a Pesach Sheni? What are the circumstances? Kegoin. So he answers, it's as follows. Kegoin Choy Yisrael Mechzo Tahurin Umechzo Tameim. V'noshim Mashlimos LaTahurim. The Noshim are the ones responsible for 50% being Tor, namely, without the women, the Tmeim on the 14th of Nisan will be the majority. Vikosavar, Noshim, and Rav Kahana will explain the source as holding that Noshim Barishon Chovo B'Sheni Rishus, that women, with regard to the with regard to Pesach Rishon, they are obligated. With regard to Pesach Sheni, they have it only as a mere option. But Rishon lo avdi, on Pesach Rishon, the Tmeim will not do their korban Pesach. Dehavu lehu palgo palgo, because when it comes to in that time, that Pesach Rishon, the Tameim were 50%. Upalga Barishon lo avdi. A 50% population of Tameim don't do a Pesach Rishon. They're not a majority of Tomei. They are only a 50% that are Tomei. B'sheni nami lo avdi. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, they don't, the Tomeim don't do a Pesach Sheni. Dal noshim minayim min ha-torim. Now, you subtract the noshim from the Tohor population. Havalu Tomeim ruba. It then turns out that on Pesach Rishon, the majority were Tomei. There's no provision for a Pesach Sheni when the rove were Tomei a Pesach Rishon. So with this explanation, we see why the Tanaic source mentioned that there is no Pesach for the Tmeim that particular year, because of this scenario. Ularav Kahana, that mentioned Tmeim don't, in a palgo palgos mechsa Torah mechsa Tmeim, Rav Kahana was of opinion that the Tmeim do not do a Pesach Rishon. According to Rav Kahana, we saw either, according to version number one, the Tmeim will do Pesach Sheni, or the Tmeim will not do it at all. Well, Ha Desanya, Braisa, Aleph, that supported Rav, that says, Hare Shoy Yisrael Mechzaturim U Mechzatameim Halos Masim Halos Nasman, and we dashed them under the second Halos Nasman, the Tameim do a Pesach Rishon Hechim Mataritzla. What is Rav Kahana, who denies a Mechzatameim as doing a Pesach Rishon, do with this source that says a Mechzatameim will do a Pesach Rishon? Omar Loch Rav Kahana, Tanoi Hi. This issue is a machlokes tanoim. Equal the mother of mechza mechza kerov. There is a school of thought that holds that a 50% is considered rov. Equal the mother of mechza mechza, a 50% tmeim are not eno kerov. And I, Rav Kahana, will go like that opinion, that a 50% tmeim are not considered like a rov, hence they have no business doing a Pesach Rishon, and the issue will simply comes up: do they have a Pesach Sheni or not? That depends on the two versions of Rav Kahana. Gufa, we have a Tanaic source that starts here, and you'll see it continues till the upper part of Daf Pei Omid Aleph. Hare Shoyu Yisrael Mechza Torah Mechza Tameim. This is the same source as we saw quoted in passing, and here it's going to be quoted in full. This was the source that originally was brought to support Rav, that speaks about a 50-50 situation. Alolo Snatzman, Alolo Snatzman. The Torah people do it on the 14th of Nisan by themselves, and the Tomei people do it likewise on the 14th of Nisan by themselves. Hoyu Tomeim Oifin Al Torah Mafidu Echod. Let's say the Tomei were the majority by one person. Yasu Betuma. Then everyone does their Korban Pesach in a state of Tuma, meaning even the Torah people will do it in a state of Tuma, Lefi She'ein Korban Sibur Choluk. Because we don't want to have a public offering done in a split fashion. Rebbe Lozer ben Masya Omer, Ein Hayochid Machrias at Sibur Letuma. Rebbe Lozer ben Masya says that if a majority is formed by one, one does not balance out, does not weigh down, Machrias to weigh down to the direction of Tuma. Shneamar, and we continue at the top of Daf Pei Omer Aleph, the Pasuk says, Lo Yisuchal Lizboyach Es HaPesach Be'echad Shorech. Now the word Shorech we put in brackets, even though it's the continuation of the Pasuk, we want to emphasize the word Be'echad. And it says, Lo Yisuchal Lizboyach Es HaPesach Be'echad. Rashi at the top says, Lo Yisuchal Lizboyach Es HaPesach Be'echad B'Shvil Yochid. Because of a single person, Lo Yisbechenu She'oysa Yochid that one, if it's a majority of one to decide to be the deciding factor that we will not allow. Rabbi Shimon Omer afilu shevet echod tomei ushar kol shvatim torim. Rabbi Shimon says even if one tribe is tomei and the rest of the tribes, there are 12 tribes amongst the nation of Israel, if one of them is tomei and the rest are torah, halolo oisin laatzman v'halolo oisin laatzman, they will all do it during Pesach Rishon. Just that the Tohor people, the 11 tribes, will do it by themselves, and the Tomei tribe will do it by themselves. And there's a bracket here simply to indicate this is a Gemara interruption of the Tanaic source. My Taimo, the Rebbe Shimon, what's the basis of Rebbe Shimon? Kosovar Shevet Echot Ikri Kohol, that a singular tribe can be termed Kohol. Kohol would mean a complete tzibur, a complete congregation. And as such, it has the status, so to speak, of an entire people. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu shevet echot tomei ushar kol shvatim tohorim. Rabbi Yehuda goes even further than Rabbi Shimon and says, if one shevet is tomei and the rest are tohor, yasu betumah, everyone will do it in a state of tumah, even the tohor tribes, if they should so desire, as Rashi says, she'ein korban tzibur choluk, because we don't want to have a public offering done in a split fashion. Now, the Gemara explains Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Shevet Echod Ikri Kol. First of all, a singular Shevet is referred to as an entire people. V'havaluhu palgu palga. Well, now you've got an entire entity of Kohol Tomei and an entire entity that are Tohor. So you have Tomei and Tohor, which is like 50-50. V'ein Korban Sibur Choluk. And we don't want to have a split public offering, v'avdi kulu betuman, so as to have uniformity. Everyone will do it in a state of tuma. Before we conclude, let us just remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.